Well, it is good to be with you this morning as we continue our series on the Holy Spirit. We're going to continue where we left off last week, but the big idea throughout this whole series, right, as we look to establish and understand who the Holy Spirit is, that the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, is a divine person. He's the third member of the Trinity. He's the promised helper who was sent by God to glorify the Son, first and foremost. Secondly, to sanctify and empower the believer, which is those of us who have placed our faith and trust in Christ for salvation, and then also to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And it's so important that we understand the Holy Spirit as we develop this theology of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is essential to our lives in Christ. Amen? And so hopefully this has been helpful. I think there are some handouts on the welcome desk from last week. There will be more this coming week as we have a lot more ground to cover with relationship to the scriptures as well as what we're talking about. So Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Last week we covered the use and development of the gifts of the Spirit and the purpose of the gifts of the Spirit in our lives. Now, one of the things we need to understand is that every follower of Christ, every person in Christ has a gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, not one person has all of the gifts, but we do at least have one or two gifts. I had a conversation this last week with a gentleman who was explaining that there was a woman that he had talked to who was struggling, that she was not sure what her gift is. And I want to encourage you that if you don't know what your gift is, that's okay. Okay? You have giftings, and if you haven't taken a spiritual gift in assessment or inventory, that's okay. Just ask the people around you who know you well. They probably can pick out what your gifts are. Amen? You believe that? You know, whether it's hosting or teaching or service or whatever it might be. That's why we are together as the body of Christ. And so we're going to continue this study on the ministry of the Spirit to believers, because it is awesome that we are called to be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? And the idea of being filled with the Holy Spirit is different than being indwelt by the Spirit. Every believer is indwelled by the Holy Spirit. But we are also called to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Remember Galatians chapter 5, as we walk in the Spirit, we bear the fruit of the Spirit as opposed to the fruit of the flesh. And that, more than that, the Holy Spirit gifts us for service and what the purpose of those gifts are. And if that weren't enough, I feel like it's like a late night, you know, infomercial, right? You know, this and more. That the Holy Spirit not only gifts us and dwells us and allows us to walk in Him, He actually ministers to us as believers. So the Holy Spirit is 100% on our side to become more and more like Christ. Do you believe that, church? And so with that, the ministry of the Holy Spirit to believers. And we're going to just take these in turn. We're going to look at the passages of Scripture because it's so important as we develop this theology. Again, we're developing a biblical theology of the Holy Spirit. And the first thing is that the Holy Spirit helps believers in worship. So if you have your Bibles, flip over to Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. In Philippians, and a lot of what we're going to get is Paul's theology of the Holy Spirit, as most of our passages that we're going to look at are from Paul's letters. But in Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, he says this, "For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh." So what Paul is saying is that the whole reason that we are able to worship God is that spiritually, we are of the circumcision. We are those that have been not just have circumcision of the flesh, but have received a circumcision of the heart. And we worship by the Spirit of God, and we glory in Christ Jesus because we don't put any confidence in the flesh. Right? My flesh is frail today, and I have no confidence in it. But God's Spirit is alive and well in this place. Amen? And so we worship by the Spirit of God. He helps us in worship. He also assures believers. I think this is so important as we look at Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Romans chapter 8 is just such a wonderful, glorious passage of Scripture. But in verse 16 of Romans chapter 8, Paul writes this. He says, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." And what I love about that is sometimes we wrestle with our certainty in our salvation, don't we? Sometimes we wonder, am I really saved? I mean, I know the things that I want to do, and I don't do those, and I do the things that I don't want to do. Anybody relate to Paul in that? Yeah? But the good news is that we can have confidence. In fact, in verse 15, if you just go back ahead, he says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And it's the Spirit himself who bears witness with our spirit that we are, in fact, children of God." Church, that is such good news for us who, in the midst of our culture war, in the midst of our uncertainty of our day and age, that we have the confidence that we are, in fact, Christ's sons and daughters. Amen? And it's the Holy Spirit. And I love this. He bears witness with what? Our own spirit. Because we are body, soul, and spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that intercedes and integrates with our spirit. And he bears witness that we are God's children. And then look at verse 17. "And if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." See, the Spirit, he assures believers that we are God's kids. The Spirit baptizes believers in conversion. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So we're just going to scoot ahead a little bit here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Where Paul writes this, "For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one spirit." And that's such an important thing, is we look as just as the body is one, and our bodies are fully integrated, and it has many members, and all of the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. "For we are baptized in one spirit." And so whatever our life was like before Christ, whoever we were before Christ, through Christ, we've been baptized into unity, into his body. So whether, you know, we were fornicators or druggies or partiers or workaholics, whatever it is, right, that we were, whatever walks of life we came from, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, in Christ, we are united together as one. I think sometimes we forget that we are one body, though, don't we? I think sometimes we forget that together we're to work for the common good, that as the Holy Spirit seeks to work in us and through us, we often neglect the fact that we are united together in him. Because we may disagree about something or someone or whatever it might be. And I think part of what God is calling us back to is to recognize his presence in that, and to remind us that we are, in fact, one body. Amen. The Spirit blesses believers. I love this. Galatians chapter 5, we're very familiar with this passage, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is joy, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions. If we live by the Spirit, verse 25, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. You see, the Spirit longs to bless us, to guide us, to direct us, to nurture our life in Christ, so that Christ is more formed in us. So that every day by day, we might look a little bit less like ourselves, and we might look a little bit more like Christ. And if we're cooperating, if we're tuning into, remember that guitar tuning analogy, if we're tuning into the Holy Spirit day by day, and we're keeping that tune, and we're cooperating in harmony and melody with him, man, that's such a beautiful, beautiful sound. Look at chapter 6, verse 8 of Galatians, that same letter that Paul writes. He says, "For the one who sows to his own flesh from the flesh reaps corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." You see, Paul is continuing putting forth the idea that there are two choices before us. We can either walk in the flesh and sow to the flesh, which, what does he say? That reaps corruption and destruction. But the one who sows of the Spirit, the one who walks in the Spirit, the one who bears the fruit of the Spirit in keeping with his testimony, her testimony, from the Spirit will reap nothing less than eternal life. Eternal life also, not just in the future life, but also to experience a bit of that today. And to not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap. Sometimes it's hard to want to keep doing good things, isn't it? Especially when the world around you is getting away with all kinds of naughtiness, you know, and there's success and people who are corrupt. And at times, if we're honest, it almost seems like it's not fair. You know, Lord, we try, we go to church, we're in fellowship, we read your word, we do these things, and why does it seem like the wicked flourish and prosper? Because they're not living with eternity in mind. And that's the difference for us, church, is that we don't live just for this life. We live for eternity. As we sow from the Spirit, as we draw on the Spirit's power, as we draw on his giftings, as we draw on his presence, his sanctifying presence, then we are going to reap eternal life. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. And you become imitators of us. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you receive the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For not only was the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. I love that idea that the Thessalonians, as Paul is writing to this group of Christians in Thessalonica, and he's affirming them, he's encouraging them that they had become imitators of Paul and his merry band of evangelists, and that as they became imitators of Paul, they also became imitators of the Lord, and they received the word with much affliction, because Thessalonica was a Greek city. And the gospel was proclaimed there. Many came to faith in Christ, and they received the joy of the Holy Spirit in the midst of their adversity and affliction. And I think there's something important for us there as we consider the potential of affliction in our own experience, in our own culture, as we take a stand for Christ, that affliction is going to come. But there's great joy in the Holy Spirit. And it's only in the Holy Spirit's presence in us that we can have joy in adversity. Because joy in adversity doesn't make sense otherwise, right? I am so glad I'm being afflicted by this, Lord. Thank you so much. Right? I'm so glad that I get to take a stand for you and, you know, have my whatever taken from me. But it's by the Holy Spirit's presence, that assurance of our salvation, our knowledge that we are his children. And see how all of these tie in together, right? And that's why it's so important that we understand and develop and weave together this biblical theology of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit blesses believers. He baptizes believers in conversion. The Spirit, he influences the minds of believers. Look at Romans chapter 8 again. Romans chapter 8 again. It's just such a powerful passage. But in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 6, Paul writes this: for those who live according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. You know, just think about that for a second. Those who live according to the flesh, they are fleshly minded. They only want the things that their flesh craves and desires. But those who live according to the Spirit, in contrast, Paul says, those who live according to the Spirit, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is, what does he say? Death. Set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Do you struggle with anxiety? Do you struggle with frustration? Do you struggle with anger according to fleshly things? Set your mind on the Spirit, Paul says. Because setting our minds on the Spirit is life. Verse 7, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, you believer, you follower of Christ, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. See, we are, in a sense, we are the walking dead, because our flesh is corrupt. Our flesh will wear out at some point. Some of you know that all too well, don't you? Right? But the good news is that if the Spirit of God dwells in us, we have a hope, we have a life eternal that's waiting for us in heaven. The Spirit not only influences the minds of the believers, but he also dwells in believers. And there's lots of passages. We're just going to look at Romans chapter 5 since we're already in Romans, and it's convenient. Romans chapter 5, verse 5, "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Remember, in John chapter 14, Jesus promised the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit who would come after he had ascended to heaven, after Jesus departed from the disciples. One who is greater than even Christ himself, in the sense that Jesus was limited to one space at one time, and the Holy Spirit, he is in all, he indwells all believers as the body of Christ. And so as he indwells us, he gives us power. And he gives us that life, that joy that comes from his presence. The Spirit empowers believers. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Paul, in his letter, he says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being." What is the point of that? Why is that so important that the Spirit is strengthening us inside? So that, verse 17, "so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Church, the Holy Spirit is ministering to us so that we might know God's love fully. Not just a little bit, not just some of it, but the height, the breadth, the length, and the depth, the full scope of Christ's love, and that his he may dwell in our hearts through faith. What an incredible ministry that the Holy Spirit has to us as followers of Christ, as he empowers us, as he strengthens us for God's glory. Philippians chapter 1, just a couple of pages over. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 19. We read this, "For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance." See, Paul was praying and he was looking for success of advancing the gospel. And he said, "I know that by your prayer and the Spirit of Christ dwelling in me and helping me will turn this out for his good." The Spirit, he equips believers for service. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Again, that excellent chapter on the Spirit and spiritual gifts. But verse 7, he says, "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." The Holy Spirit is filling us. He's indwelling us for the good of the body of Christ. The Spirit fights for believers' sinful nature. I'm so glad that we have the Holy Spirit on our side, because he is actively engaged in warfare on our behalf. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 13. It says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Sometimes my sinful nature wins. How about yours? Sometimes I give in to temptation, even though I don't want to, even though I know better. The good news is that the Holy Spirit, if I would just trust him, if I would just lean into him, if I would understand more thoroughly and apply and appropriate his power, I might be able to resist more temptation, as would you, as he fights our sinful nature. The Spirit, he fills believers with his presence. We know that in Ephesians 5, 18. In Ephesians 5, verse 18, it says, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And as you're filled with the Holy Spirit," remember this, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. You know, it's interesting, on Sunday morning, I don't hear a lot of you singing to each other. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, allowing that joy of the Lord. Because honestly, brothers and sisters, when we gather on Sunday morning, this should be like a huge joy fest, right? So excited to see each other from this week. How can we encourage each other? What's new? What's changed in your life? How are you growing in Christ? What are you struggling with? How can we pray for each other? Right? This gathering on Sunday morning has got to be the most awesome opportunity, the best thing that we look forward to every week as the body of Christ gathering together for worship, for worship through singing praise, worship through the word, worship through giving, worship through fellowship. Even if we don't feel 100%, right? To be able to just enjoy each other's company and presence because of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us and bearing witness to each other as children of God. What an incredible opportunity, right? Brothers and sisters, as he fills us with his presence. The Spirit also frees us as believers. Again, going back to Romans chapter 8, you know this probably well. You've heard this, maybe even have it memorized. There is therefore, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Amen. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because through the law of the Spirit of life, he set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. So the Spirit, he frees us, and he gives us access to the Father. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. As the Holy Spirit is dwelling inside of us, as he's pointing us to Christ, in verse 18 of chapter 2, for through him, through Christ, we have both access and one Spirit. We both have access and one Spirit to the Father. You see, Jesus, and there you see a picture of the Trinity. As through Christ, the God-man, we have access to the Father by the Spirit uniting us. No longer Jew or Gentile, no longer slave or free, but we are united together in Christ. The Spirit glorifies Christ in believers. We read that in John chapter 16. We see that the Spirit, he guarantees future blessing. Just hang out here in Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 13 through 14. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So as we walk in the Spirit, we're sealed by the Spirit. We're promised to and guaranteed an inheritance of eternal life in Christ. The Spirit, he guides believers. The Spirit has fellowship with believers. The Spirit himself as a divine person, a unique personality among the Trinity, one essence, three persons. He has fellowship with the believers. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. That's only possible by the Spirit dwelling inside of us. Because without the Spirit, guess what? I'm the most important person on the planet, not you. Apart from the Holy Spirit inside of me, I only have care and concern for me, myself, and I. Some of you might say, well, you have the Spirit and you still struggle with that. Well, that's true, right? Because we all do. But the goal is to humbly count others more significant. And that's a process of the Holy Spirit working in us, sanctifying us, and making us more like Christ. The Holy Spirit helps believers. Philippians chapter 1:19, the Holy Spirit is a gift to believers. I think this is probably one of the things that we need to understand, that the Holy Spirit prays for believers. Look at Romans chapter 8. Again, we go back to that because it's such a beautiful, beautiful chapter. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. You know, brothers and sisters, there are times when you might not feel like you have any strength to pray, or you may not know what to pray. You may not have the words because what you're facing is just so deep and so painful and so hard. The good news, the promise of God, is that the Spirit helps you in your weakness. Amen? The Spirit helps you in your weakness. And even when we are praying well, we don't know what to pray for as we ought. Because sometimes my prayers, they sometimes wander. Do your prayers ever wander? But the Holy Spirit is there. He understands our heart. Remember, because he's united to our spirit, and he knows what our spirit and our souls desire. And so he intercedes on our behalf. And I love groanings too deep for words. He understands the depth of our soul. He understands the depth of our need and what we're facing and how desperately we need the Holy Spirit. We need the glory of Christ to be revealed. And so he intercedes on us. And he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And sometimes, Lord, I know that I don't have the right words or even know how to pray in certain situations, but the Holy Spirit does. And he's interceding on our behalf so that God's will would be done in your life, in my life. The Holy Spirit regenerates believers. In John chapter 3, verses 5 through 8, Jesus says this. He says, Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." Because again, Nicodemus actually took Jesus literally. Like, am I as a grown man supposed to get back into my mom's womb? How is that possible? But Jesus wasn't talking about a fleshly rebirth. He was talking about a spiritual rebirth. And he says, don't marvel at that. Don't take that literally, Nicodemus. Because that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said this. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes or from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Sometimes things are just outside of our comprehension, and we have to take it by faith. We have to understand that when God says something, we can trust it. And that's where Nicodemus, he's like, I don't understand. How can these things be? And Jesus said, are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? So the idea that we have to take these things by faith. Just a few more things. The Spirit seals believers. He speaks through believers. He teaches believers. And he transforms believers. Which then leads us to the Holy Spirit and his ministry to the church. As the Holy Spirit does all of these things to individual believers, he also has a ministry to the church. And very, very quickly, the Holy Spirit, he appoints leaders for service. He bestows his gifts spiritually. I think not just individually, but I think there are also gifts for the church. I think each church has a unique position. Some churches are more evangelistic. Some churches are more service-oriented. We see this as the body of Christ working together. We see that the Holy Spirit, he guides leaders for service. As he appoints them, he guides them. He provides power for ministry. And the Holy Spirit, he encourages and establishes growth and unity in the body of Christ corporately. And the Holy Spirit also gives wisdom. He indwells the church with his presence. He intercedes not just on the individual's behalf, but on the behalf of the whole congregation. He reveals Christ's message, the gospel, and he sanctifies us. He makes us new every day. He makes us a little bit more like Jesus. So again, as we kind of round out this idea of who the Holy Spirit is, where the goal is that the God, the Holy Spirit, is a divine person. He's the third member of the Trinity. He's the promised helper sent by God to glorify the Son, sanctify and empower the believer, and convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray that as we grow from here, as we learn more about you, that Holy Spirit, that we would draw on your power, we would draw on your strength, we would rest in your promises, God, as you've revealed to us in your word, that Lord, that we would, as we're sealed by you, as we're convicted by you, as we're drawn into deeper relationship, Christ, that you would be formed in us more and more. Lord, and that we're not left on our own as human beings who have to figure things out in our own strength, our own power, but God, we have you, Holy Spirit, inside of us, dwelling in us, bearing witness to us about all of the goodness and all of the glory of God. And that you give us freedom, you give us hope, you give us purpose, you give us power. And so, Lord, when we do face temptation, when we do face struggles and trials, Lord, that we can lean and rest on you, that we can draw from you that which is our inheritance in Christ. Lord, I pray for those that are struggling, that are wrestling with relationships, that are wrestling with illnesses, that are wrestling with uncertainty, not sure what the next step is, God. I pray that, Holy Spirit, you would be their very present help in their time of need. That, Lord, that they would know that you're always there, that your presence and your power is there. And Lord, sometimes it doesn't feel like it, but Lord, it's so much more than just a feeling. It's the certainty, it's the conviction, the faith, to know that what you say is true and that we can believe you. So Lord, even if we don't feel your presence, we know your presence is there. And so, God, I pray that you would help us in our unbelief. I pray that you would help us in our lack of feeling, and that we would rest upon you, the author and the perfecter of our faith. For you alone are good. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for the life you bring to us, the intercession you bring on our behalf to the Father, that the Son might be glorified in us. And all God's people said, amen, amen.